Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Awesome. Thanks, Pastor Mel. Why don't you all take your seats? Before I get started, I just want to honor our campus pastors, Pastor Mel and Pastor Mark. You guys are literally the best, and I love you. I know I'm not the only one, but I just want to thank you both for leading all of us with such passion and integrity. And you don't just lead that way, like you live your lives that way, and you encourage us to do the same thing. And I am very grateful for that. So thank you. So good morning, church. So awesome. Well, this morning, I've got the incredible privilege of bringing the word. And so I just, you know, thinking on it was just like, what a great day it is to be in the house of God. We're all gathered here together. And I truly believe that God is going to do something this morning. The Spirit is here. It is, you can't deny it. It's tangible. You can feel it. And all we have to do is just open our hearts and allow Him to actually speak to us. So we can sit there and get nothing, but I pray you don't. I pray you don't listen to my words, but you listen to the words of God, and that He does something beautiful. So before we start, I'd love to pray. So why don't you bow your heads? Father God, I thank you. I thank you that you're here in this place. That while we've come to church to meet you, you've already been here waiting to meet us. Thank you that you desire to transform us with your word, to do something deep and lasting within us. And so I pray this morning, would we surrender to you? Would we open our hearts and allow you to do a deep work within us? And would we walk out of here forever changed? Because we've met with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today. And we pray that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Tobes. I didn't thank him in the first service. I warned him, though. I was like, I'll probably forget. And I did. So thank you, Toby. That was awesome. If I was going to title my message this morning, it'd be this: Remain and Share. So before we open our Bibles, I just want to set the scene a little. Jesus in Acts 1, he's just been resurrected after being buried, put in the tomb, been to the cross, died for everyone. He's gone to the tomb and he's been resurrected, and now he's actually meeting with his disciples. And on one such occasion, he's sitting having a meal with them. And he actually says to them, he forewarns them. He tells them exactly what's going to happen. He's like, hey, I'm not actually going to hang around here for very long. I'm going. And they're all like, no, don't go. We need you. And he's like, no. It's actually better that I go. And so he tells them to wait in Jerusalem. He says, wait here. I'm going to go, but you wait here in Jerusalem. He says that you'll wait, and the promise that I've been speaking about, the promise that the Father is going to give you, it'll come. He tells them that John baptized with water, but they're going to wait, and very soon they're actually going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so if you have your Bibles with you this morning, why don't you open to Acts 2? I'm going to read together from verse 1. It says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Spirit gave them this ability. And if you jump down into verse 17, Peter actually walks out to this crowd that has gathered as all of this has been going on, and he explains to them what's happening. He says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. If you're a people in this place this morning, that means you. God wants to pour out his Spirit on you. He carries on. He says, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. So 120 believers are all gathered together and they're waiting, just as Jesus had instructed them to do. Some of those that were gathered were the exact same men that had walked with Jesus whilst he was on the earth doing his miracles, performing his wonders, raising the dead, opening the eyes of the blind. They had seen it all firsthand. They had watched him be beaten, nailed to a cross, buried in a tomb, and then they'd seen him resurrected again. And so when the master says to them, "Wait in Jerusalem," they listen. They know that the master knows what they need. Jesus knew that in order for them to fulfill the Great Commission, they needed the infilling and empowering of the Holy Spirit. He knew that for them to go into all the world, they needed what would only be given to them once he had left to be with the Father. They needed the Holy Spirit. They needed the Spirit's authority. They needed the Spirit's power. They needed an ability to speak in tongues. They needed an ability to prophesy and to bring words of wisdom and words of knowledge. And it could only be done with the Holy Spirit. We may not be one of the 12 or even one of the 120, but we are all gathered here this morning. And nothing has changed. Jesus still wants us to go into all the world. But he wants us to go into all the world ready to do exactly what he's called us to do. And we can't do it if we're not filled. So before we go, we must be filled. Now, I know what you may be thinking, because I've kind of thought these thoughts myself. It's all very good that he poured out his Spirit on his disciples, but who am I? And I get it. I'm not an ex-fisherman. I don't do really well in crowds, believe it or not. You may be sitting there saying, "Well, I don't like speaking to strangers. I'm not very confident. I don't think I know enough scripture." I think everyone here could put their hands up and say, "We don't know enough scripture. We can always know more scripture." You might be thinking, "I've got a past that I'm not overly proud about." But you know what? I get it. I really do. I understand, because every single one of those thoughts screams to us, "You're not qualified." But before we completely write ourselves off, turn with me to the book of Isaiah, and reading from chapter 61, verse 1, we're going to hear what God has to say. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, and the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison and of eyes to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant joy to those who mourn in Zion, to give them an ornament of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a heavy, burdened, and failing spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." God has qualified us, you and me. He has qualified us to preach the gospel, to go into our worlds and proclaim his good news, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to both the spiritual and physically captive people, release from darkness for prisoners, the favor of the Lord, his day of vengeance, to comfort those who mourn, to give them a crown of beauty instead of the ashes that they're covered in, to allow an overflow of his joy to be poured out onto them, and to place upon them a garment of praise to replace their spirits of despair. And the most incredible truth is this: he's not only anointed us, but he's qualified us. He has officially recognized each one of us here, not as being perfect, but as being worthy of having his Spirit poured out onto us. It's no surprise that Luke actually recounts in Scripture how Jesus, after he has been tempted in the wilderness, he walks back into the temple. He takes the scroll, opens it, and he reads this very passage of Scripture we've just read. Jesus, the Son of God, knew that the Spirit was upon him. He was anointed and qualified to begin his ministry. Jesus knows that all he has planned for us to do cannot be done effectively without the anointing. We can talk to people, we can empathize with them, we can comfort them, we can show them care and concern, but none of it, not one bit, will make a lasting, eternal change in their lives without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Luke mentions these powerful scriptures over and over and over because he gets it. He understands the power of the anointing. Luke knows that without the anointing, the upper room experience wouldn't have made an ounce of difference to the town. Without the anointing, Peter wouldn't have gone out, preached to thousands, and seen 3,000 saved in one day. Without the anointing, Philip wouldn't have encountered the eunuch. The eunuch wouldn't have asked to be baptized in a body of water that he saw. He wouldn't have taken the gospel back to Ethiopia and seen an entire nation changed because of the anointing. Without the anointing, Peter and John wouldn't have offered the lame man anything. They didn't have the silver and gold that he was asking for. But what they did have, because of the anointing, they knew they had Jesus. And so they offered him that instead. And that's what broke the yoke of his life. What had been on him was broken forever because of the anointing. The anointing empowers us for supernatural work. The book of Acts repeats over and over and over. They were filled. They were filled. They were filled. And so you know what? It is safe to say that we need to be filled and filled and filled again. The question that I have, though, is this. Do you believe what God says about the kind of impact that we're going to have for him? The kind that Jesus speaks about in John 14, 12. The one where we're going to do even greater. Do you believe it? Because you should. Jesus says it, and he is not man that he should lie. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done and even greater. This is Jesus talking. The same and even greater. But how? We get the answer in Zechariah 4, verse 6. It says, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you and I, we his believers, his disciples, are going to do the same and even greater? Jesus was one man, and we, his church, are many. We're not about to do greater miracles or greater signs and wonders, but we, his church, his ecclesia, his called out ones, what we are going to do everywhere across the world because of the anointing, because of him working in us and through us, we're going to do more than he could do on his own as one man during his ministry. That's the greater. God doesn't want us limiting what he can do in and through us. He doesn't want us doubting what the power of the Holy Spirit is going to do. It's not time to get in the way. Rather, it's time to get on board. Jesus knew that what he had done, what he had accomplished, was just the beginning. He knew that we, his church, were going to do even greater. In fact, in John 16, 7, he says, it's best for you if I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. But if I do, I'll send him to you. And in verse 13, he tells us that when the Spirit of truth comes, he's going to lead us in all truth. Talk about leaving us with something that the world needs. Jesus knew that the cross was just the beginning. It wasn't the end. It was just the beginning. He knew that the cross changed everything for every believer everywhere, but it was just the beginning. The veil was torn, complete access to the Father was given, and that's where it all started. We have everything we need because we have complete access to the Father. Come on, that's worth getting excited about. We have everything we need because we have complete access to the Father because of the costly sacrifice his Son paid. We have this incredible access. And so now it's time to get busy remaining so we can get busy sharing. Are you ready to remain in one place long enough to allow God to do a mighty work in you so that he can do a mighty work through you? The disciples in the upper room were ready. Scripture tells us they waited. And once they had waited and once they had been filled, they got busy sharing. You know what they didn't do? They didn't just sit around telling each other how cool this is. Hey, Nick, you're filled, I'm filled, we're amazing. They didn't do that. The 120 of them didn't kind of have this little inner circle kind of gathering where it was just them in the room. They got out and they started doing exactly what they had been called to do. They started sharing everything Jesus was laying on their heart. John 15:5 is a powerful truth about what happens when we remain. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus knew the importance of what happens when we remain. We grow, we bear fruit, and we make a lasting impact for his kingdom. But how do we remain? I'm glad you asked. I've got 2 points that I think are going to help us all. And the first one is this: stay where he tells you to stay. Too often, we get caught up chasing the next thing rather than remaining where he's told us to stay. If he has planted you in this house, then get connected, get discipled, get activated, get busy remaining so that you can get busy sharing. Remain in the house on a Sunday, not just the Sundays you feel like it. On a Sunday, that's his day. Remain in the house. Remain in Connects fortnightly. If you're not in a Connect, get in a Connect. It's going to be life-changing, and then remain in it. If you've never been to our campus prayer, get to campus prayer and then remain in it. Get busy remaining where he has planted you so that you can get filled up and then get busy sharing his gospel with a fallen and broken world. Point number two is this: fill up your vessel. Don't look at someone else's vessel and wonder how they fill it. Rather, inquire of God, how do I fill my vessel? How does he want me to fill my vessel? And then get busy doing it. Filling our vessel is not a one-time thing. It's a filled to be poured out, to be filled to be poured out over and over again kind of thing. You know what, if I go to the petrol station and I fill up my car, I am 100% guaranteed that I'm going to need to do it again. And I'm not even a mechanic. But I know this. I know that my petrol tank in my car can only go so far. And then it goes, I'm done. I need some more. And you know what, we're exactly the same. We don't have this capacity to just have everything we need for the rest of our lives and never go back to the Savior. Just like the petrol tank, I need to keep going back. We all need to keep going back to get filled up again. Our senior pastor, Pastor Ken Lee, once shared this incredible revelation in a sermon of his, and he often refers to it. You've probably heard him say it before, but he says, "The Holy Spirit is in you for you, but it is on you for others. If we are not constantly going back to God to be filled and filled and filled, then the likelihood of us having an abundance of anything worth sharing with the world is slim. Without a constant outpouring of God's Spirit in and over our lives, we won't always have a constant supply of Jesus to give to others. If you're unsure if you're getting filled up, then I think it's time to do an inventory of your day. It's time to ask yourself these things. During my day, do I regularly set aside time to pray and read the Word? Do I speak to God and then allow Him to speak back to me? Do I speak life over others, over situations I'm facing, over my family, over the season I'm in? Do I scroll my time away? Everyone hangs their head. Or instead, do I choose to invest in quality, Christ-centered material to fill me up? And the Bible should be top of that list. It's important to take a good look at what we're doing and then evaluate what we need to change so that we can allow God to fill us up. You know what? No one else can change my bad habits except me. And no one else can make choices for you except you. And none of it will have a lasting impact on our own lives if we don't first inquire of the Holy Spirit how to do it well. So let's recap. We get busy remaining by staying where He tells us to stay and filling up our vessel. So how do we get busy sharing? I have two more points to share with you, so stay with me. The first is this. We do what the Word tells us to do. We build our life on it. The Word of God is our foundation. It's the truth that we build our lives on. The Word sustains us, it transforms us, it teaches us, and it grows us. John actually refers to Jesus as the Word of God. And for us to share Jesus effectively and confidently, then we need to not just know about Him, but we actually need to know Him. We need to know what His Word says about who He is, about His character, about what He wants us to do and how He wants us to live our lives. We need to build our lives on the Word. Jesus actually spoke about it in Matthew 7. He says, all these things that I'm teaching you, build your life on them. And when we do, when we read the Word, when we take the Word, and we apply the Word to our lives, it doesn't matter what storm comes our way. It doesn't matter what the enemy throws at us. We stand on a firm foundation because our lives are built on the rock, built on God's Word. Do you know that Jesus, after being led in the wilderness, and He's being tempted and tested by the enemy, every single time He comes back at the enemy with the Word of God. Not His own ideas, not what He thinks might help, but He comes back with the Word of God every single time. And if Jesus did it, then we need to do the same. As the band joins me, my final point is this. Do everything in love. Let love be your highest goal. Not signs and wonders, not miracles, love. Our senior pastor, Pastor Chrissy Lee, always says, never leave love. And I love that saying. In actual fact, I use it quite often myself. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. And reading from verse 1, we're actually going to see what it looks like when we leave love. It says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans, possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. if I gave everything I had to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. When I leave love, I am nothing more than a noise. I'm not even a pleasant noise. I'm just a noisy noise of nothingness. And that ain't nice. You know, not that long ago, we had this really squeaky front door in our house. And I don't know if it was the new house or the, you know, salty sea air or whatever it was, but every time one of my young adult children would come home at some ridiculous hour of the night, because that's what they do, the door would squeak. It would cause my husband and I to wake up with a bit of a start. The dogs would start to bark, and there was just like chaos in the house for a split second. Peace had literally been robbed from us. This lovely, peaceful night was over. And so I one day said to my son, do you know what we need? We need WD-40. And then my son, in his, you know, cleverness, and he always has an answer for me, he said, nah, Mom, we just need olive oil. And I was like, I don't know about that. But you know what? He did it anyway. I was doubtful, but he did it anyway. And it worked. He put the olive oil on the door, and the door stopped squeaking. And as I was sitting reflecting on that, the Holy Spirit actually began speaking to me about how when I go out without the oil of the anointing of the Spirit, I'm like that squeaky door. When I open my mouth, I cause a bit of panic and a bit of chaos. People maybe hear some dogs barking, but it's just not nice. It's not pleasant. But when I sit and I actually allow the anointing, allow the oil to be poured over me, suddenly I begin to speak like Jesus would. Suddenly I begin to show love. Suddenly I actually become a nicer person, and the space I occupy becomes a nicer space to be in. Do you know what? If we leave love, others are not drawn to His presence. His anointing is not about condemnation. It's about love. And the Spirit wants to lead us in the truth of His love, not just for us, but for others. When we meet others and they encounter the love of Jesus, they feel seen. They feel valued. They literally feel the love of the Father being poured out over them. Now that's beautiful. So we get busy sharing by doing what the Word tells us and doing everything in love.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.